Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin and
Dr. Richard Tooley.
Welcome to Education Currents. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and I'm here interviewing Andy J. and her mother.
Hello.
Hello.
So, Andy J., tell me, you're a musician, is that correct?
Yeah.
When did you discover that you liked music?
Well,
it wasn't with Mary Had a Little Lamb, was it? No.
No. More Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. But anyway, when I was 2 years old, my mom sat me on a stage to sing. And that's the first time I really got into it, because our entire family is really into music. And I kind of grew up with it, along with everyone else in our family.
And when did you discover that you had a knack for writing music? Because I understand that you are a fairly prolific writer of music.
Well, when I was young, like around 9 or 10, I would write cute and very pathetic little songs that consisted of like one verse, a chorus, and then half of a second verse, and then I'd be tired of it and say, here's my song. But when I was in 8th grade, we had a spring festival, and the theme was believing in God, and they wanted me to do a solo. So Mom and I were trying to find something, but we couldn't find anything. So I'm like, you know what? I'll write one. And she's like, okay. So I left, and 20 minutes later, I come back with the song that a few days later, I perform it.
Wow, that's pretty good. Now, so Catherine, may I call you that?
Yes.
I understand that it's kind of hard to have people who like to write music in the house. Do you enjoy the musical variations of a song before it turns into music?
Actually, she goes to her room, and I don't see her come out until it's done. And once it's done, she brings it out and says, here's my song. So we don't hear any variations until she's done. What does get interesting is when I sing something with her or practice something with her and she says, that's the wrong key, because she also happens to have perfect pitch.
Ooh, that makes it really hard.
And that gets a little bit difficult.
Might as well have the whole key chart there and say, we're going to sing it in this key today.
Right. That's what I always tell her. That's just my key.
When she first decided that she was going to write that song herself, what was on your mind?
I still started looking for more music to find for her, because it was just a couple of days before the program. She decided she wanted to write it, and I never want to discourage her from that. So I said, go right ahead. And then I went and started delving into my books of music, trying to find something for her that she would be able to sing. And 20 minutes later, she came out and said, here's my song. And she had the chords written for it. So I played the chords and she sang it. And it's on this album. It was really good.
Oh, yes. And so tell us a little bit about this album. Andy J., what made you decide that you were going to do a whole album? Because that's quite a bit of work, especially if you wrote all the songs for it. Did you write all the songs for it?
I did. One of them actually is a hymn that I arranged.
Wow.
Everything else I wrote myself.
You decided to do this just because one day you said, I want to do an album? Or like,
yeah,
you said,
much.
Yeah, one day I want to do a song, so I got the song thing down, now I'm going to go do an album.
Pretty much.
Yes, I think it came to the point where she had so many songs that she said, I need to make an album.
And now, when did all of this start?
After she wrote this song, she was about 13, the song I Believe that she wrote for her school. It was about a year ago when she said, I really want to make an album. And she started working on it and recording and re-recording and recording. And as she got older, she was also taking voice, and her voice was changing. So then she had to redo some of the songs from the beginning.
And re-record. It's kind of a rough thing.
Yeah.
Tell me something. Something happened Andy J, when you were about 15 years old, that had an impact on you. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. That was when Mom got cancer. That was scary.
That's pretty rough, isn't it? Now, could you tell us a little bit about this cancer? What was it? Was it something that was simple, or was it something that was pretty scary?
It was stage 4 breast cancer, and they gave my mom 3 months to live.
Wow. So how did that make you... How did that affect your music?
Well, there are two things that my music is to me. One, it's how I express emotion, and two, it's how I communicate with God. It's how I express emotion because I have a hard time doing that. Like, when Mom first got cancer, I wasn't able to express how I felt about it, and instead I started showing symptoms of insomnia that didn't go away until the end of the summer. And my music started coming out a lot faster. And the other thing, it's my communication with God, because it's how I'm able to really talk to Him. Like, the song Rain, which the entire album is named after, that song is basically primarily about hardships and leaning on God to get you through them. And I really leaned on that song going through this whole thing. But the thing is, I wrote that song 2 months before we found out that Mom had cancer. So that was Him preparing me for what was coming.
It's kind of prophetic that you would write that song then, and it would be something that would carry you through this hard time. Now, the time would have been hard, and especially for you, Catherine, you were the one who was going through it.
Yes.
And as you thought about your life back then, how did you see what was happening in your daughter?
Well, at first, when they first diagnosed me, I was in very bad shape already, and my back broke, which was what sent me to the doctor in the first place, which they then found that it broke because the cancer had eaten through the vertebrae, and I had cancer in every bone of my body, from my skull down to my thighs. And so when I talked to Andy and told her that I had cancer, she cried, and then I told her at the time, I don't know what's going to happen, I don't plan on dying, but if I'm going to, I will let you know. Until then, I want you to continue your dreams, which was to be a singer and to write music. And she at first could not do it. She couldn't sleep at night. It was pretty hard to see her. She looked pretty rough. But then she started writing her music again and leaned on that. I still was told there was no hope for me. I was put on palliative care and told 3 months, and that they would put me on chemo to try to give me 3 more months after that so that I could have Christmas. And Andy took me at exactly what I said, to keep going and to trust me that I would tell her if there was anything she needed to know. And from then on, she went to school, wrote her music, did her homework, got good grades, and absolutely blossomed because she had faith in God and she had faith in me.
So when you're talking about that faith, you know, some people get the idea that faith is praying hard for God to give you the answer that you want. Did you do that?
Well, I prayed, of course, but that's not really what faith is. Faith is praying to God, knowing that He hears you, and then letting His will be done, whether it be what you want or not, because it's all for the best in the end.
So did this experience that you went through with your mother, did this help shape that idea of what faith was for you?
I guess subconsciously it did just that.
Then it also would have meant that your music would have reflected something else too. Was your music designed as praise, or was it designed as what?
It My music goes in whatever direction I need it to at the time. If it needs to be about the praise and God is great, then I write praise songs. But if it needs to be something about deeper, like is he there and where is he and that sort of thing, then I do it. Okay, so kind of depends on the situation.
Yeah, so you through this had to come through some questions yourself, like where is God when I need it?
Funny thing, I actually have another song that I wrote actually further back in the past that's actually about that as well.
So through your music, you are discovering who God is. So tell us a little bit, Catherine, as you were going through your experience, how did you relate to God in this?
I begged. I absolutely begged.
You don't have any pride about
there
that.
There was no pride. I begged and I pleaded that I'd still be able to live. And I think the hardest thing for me was to end my prayers with your will. That was the part that I had to believe that whatever happened would be God's will in the end. And at one point, we were anointed. Well, we back up, stop. At one point, I was anointed. A pastor friend came in and they did an anointing service. And the service was not, okay, this is going to heal me. The service was, I am letting go. I didn't stop praying for healing, but I let go knowing that my children would be taken care of and God's will would be done.
So this process happened not too many years ago. So you were at that point wondering how in the world you were going to come through all of this and make it work. And yet at the same time, you had a daughter here who suddenly began to produce more music and more music, and this music was both praise and some of it was questions and some of it was how did this help you?
Well, it helped me because first of all, I knew she was going to be okay. Her faith was growing through it, and that really helped because I could see her blossoming. I could see her change. I could see her confidence happening. And there was one time when I sat down, I was printing one of her songs, and it just slayed me when I heard the words. And one of them, I can't even remember the exact words, but I remember the part of I cried and cried the night away. And it was a plea to God, you know, trusting. But things didn't always turn out the way you wanted them to. And I was afraid they wouldn't turn out the way we wanted them to. And I was told very bluntly that they were not going to turn out the way we wanted them to. But to watch her change, I so badly wanted to be there to see this album that came out. And the songs that she continued to write then and finished with this album are all about the suffering that, you know, and leaning on God. I know she has a few more albums already done. They haven't been recorded yet, but the songs are all done. But this one specifically was about the suffering, which just went hand in hand with what I was going through and then what she was going through, experiencing maybe losing her mom.
That'd be a very meaningful experience. We've gone through some of the first agonizing experiences of this breast cancer that Catherine Jackson was going through, while at the same time her daughter was experiencing it as only a daughter can experience it, which can be a pretty rough experience. It's a rough ride. But through it, your music was taking you there. So what I would like to ask now, you said that your music comes to you at different times and different situations. What is it that kind of like sparks a song in your head?
That I honestly can't really explain. My music is, again, my communication with God and how I express my feelings. So it's impossible to force a song out. I have to wait for the inspiration to come, and when it comes, I write it. I can't really explain the spark that does it. It just kind of happens.
Wow. We're going to include a clip of that in this program so that the audience, our audience, can hear it out there. One of the questions I have when we think about this, your mother said that you have a bunch of other albums that you have written out. You're not quite ready to record them. What are the themes of these albums?
Let's see. I have to think back. I do have specific themes for my albums. Let's see. Well, the most recent one that I've done, I have to go back to 2 and 3 to look at them, but the most recent one that I've finished is my 4th one. And I believe that it's mostly themed around, we're all prideful people, but we've all made mistakes and we need to come before God and humble ourselves. It's basically the theme of that one.
Wow. So those get to be pretty interesting. They're hitting young people exactly where young people are. Have you ever thought what you're going to do with all these songs? Are you going to just make albums, or are you going to make a songbook or anything like that?
I'm going to make these albums. I'm going to perform them, and it's going to be mystery.
Oh, so you want to get on the road. Well, Nashville's a great place to start.
Kind of far from home.
Right, but they have some great graces here that are like these conversion bands that you can, huge conversion bands, tour the country in style and those kinds of things. So if you were to talk to other young people who were thinking about doing what you're doing, what would you tell them?
Well, for me, I just happen to have all the resources I need around me, but most people don't have that. So what I say is, if you think that this is what God really, really wants you to do, then go for it, and He will open all the doors for you.
So those resources that you had around you, do you think that they just happened to be there, or how did they get there?
I feel like that, for me, this was meant to be.
So God gave you...
Mm-hmm. He gave me my uncle's recording studio, gave me my aunt's connections with all sorts of different publishers, able to get me here, in fact, and just have these ways of being able to get out here in the first place.
And getting a chance to meet some people who can help you with the marketing and packaging and everything else that goes on with this thing. So let's turn back to the cancer, because we were there for a little bit. You've gone through the cancer. Catherine, when did things turn for you where you went from black to not such black?
Well, I was diagnosed in June of 2013 after a 7,600-mile road trip, which is when I broke my back. And so I was bedridden or in a wheelchair and totally incapacitated. And besides the praying, which was constant, we would also got together at night as a family. Every night, kids got on my bed and we would pray. I started researching because that's all I could do. I couldn't get out of bed. My husband was at work. The girls were there to help me when I needed them. Other than that, they stayed pretty hidden. And I researched cures for cancer. Meanwhile, I did go and have some chemo, and I had some radiation, which I thought was horrible, but I found out later that it was just for palliative care. They were trying to take some of the pain from my hip and my back away. And then I came across a website for raspberry gold, and I looked at it, and it had some nice Bible verses on it, and it was too expensive, so I went away from it. After 4 times of that popping up on my screen, my husband convinced me to try it, and I started taking that, and within 2 months, I started being able to walk a little bit. And the chemo had finished, and there had been no change. all the cancer was still there in all my bones. But they thought it had arrested a little bit, which would give me a couple more months, and that was the best they could hope for. But I was walking. I was going to the store. I was still in a lot of pain, but there was a huge change within those 2 months. 4 months after I started a lot of different supplements I added to it, I was cancer-free.
So how did you, during this progression, then communicate with your children about your condition?
Well, I didn't want to get their hopes up, you know. I felt so much better, but I hadn't had a PET scan yet to see anything. I did tell them after the PET scan that I had, which I was very, very disappointed when I had that PET scan that showed that the cancer was still all there. I thought maybe there would be a difference, but there wasn't. But then when I saw the doctor, he said, "We're thrilled. We're absolutely thrilled because it has stopped growing. And that will give you a few more months." So I was able to tell the children that. But I did not want to tell them anything that would get their hopes too far up. And yet here we were praying. So I didn't want to downplay the fact that we were asking God for a miracle. So I was very honest with them that I was feeling better. And they could tell because I was actually coming and sitting for a little while at the table. I was still wasn't able to make their breakfast and stuff, but I was more in their lives. I was taking them to school and picking them up. So they knew there was a difference. And so I was just very honest that, yes, I was feeling better, that God was doing something.
So Andy J., through all this, you're sitting there knowing that your mother is very, very, very sick and not knowing where the end of the road is or how the end of the road is going to be. And then you begin to see these improvements. Could you tell when your mother started feeling better?
I could. Like she said, she was getting more involved in our lives. She was coming and picking us up from school and taking us there. She was sitting with us at the table. It was a little bit more like it was before as it went on.
Did that affect how your music came out?
I honestly have no idea.
You probably want to go back and look at some of those songs and
see. Subconsciously, it might have. Again, I have trouble expressing these sort of things. All of this was kind of a lot for me to take in at once, so I can't really explain what was really going on in my head all the time.
Yeah, that's a hard part of it. Because when you go through these kinds of things, especially when you have to go through them at your age, it's a rough thing to go through, but it is something that will give you something for the rest of your life that you could not get any other way. And that is that you can go through it. If nothing else, you can go through it. Well, we're coming down to the end of this, and just before we conclude, from both of you, give us where you're going from here.
I am going to keep on writing music, going to make my albums, and I am going to spread God's word in the only way I know how.
And I am going to be her groupie, because I can.
Her bus driver, right?
Yeah, bus driver, groupie, all of the above, because I can. And I thought that was going to be taken away from me.
Well, thank you very much for this interview, and praise the Lord that the cancer is over.
Amen.
We are going to conclude with that.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com.